Hey everyone, welcome into another edition of the Woj Pod. Here with ESPN's NBA reporter Malik Andrews and our front office insider Bobby Marks. Guys, how are you?
Good, Woj. How are you?
Can't complain too much.
I'm great. Malika is in Orlando, quarantining for the long haul. I can't put it any more simply than that. Malika may have the longest haul of anybody around the NBA in the restart. And Bobby is just down the road from the Raptors on the Gold Coast. Is that what we call it? Are you on the Gold Coast of Florida, Bobby?
I am on the Gold Coast of Southwest Florida. And it's funny, Woj, I was talking with Malika yesterday, and I told her if she gets to a point in Orlando that she needs help, I can send the helicopter in and we can rescue her out of there if she needs. I'm only 3 hours away. So yeah, I am here, but I know I cannot and get into that bubble-like environment.
We'll be billing you for the helicopter charge.
I have it's funny. I had a GM say to me, we were talking about the bubble, and he was imagining, like, speaking of helicopters, like 1-2 a.m. helicopter drops into the lake, that guys would be there getting supplies in the middle of the night, the little parachutes dropping into the water of whatever. So exactly. So we are now we're in July. We are within a month now of presumably a tip off in Orlando, and the teams are just about a week, less than a week from starting to several days from starting to fly down on the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And we're getting guys a better sense, not a full sense yet, but a better sense of what the rosters are going to look like. Although, you know, I know we had sort of these arbitrary deadlines of you got to tell your team by June 24th if you're leaving. Teams had to send their you had to tell your team by June 24th if you were going to opt out. Teams needed to send their rosters to the league on July 1. But what we found was those are really soft deadlines, that teams can add substitute players really all the way till the start of the postseason. And so we know there are still plenty of players deciding. There are still players testing positive almost every day in these cities. And that's, in some cases, it's influencing whether they want to go. But given where, you know, from March 11th till we are to where we are today, Malika, the Bucks, the Clippers, the Lakers, the elite teams, who has gotten through this period based on attrition, the roster, who do you think may be in the best position going into Orlando to sort of stay on course on that championship run?
You know, I mean, what has stood out to me from the Bucks' perspective is yesterday, or when I was talking to Mike Budenholzer on July 1st, he said that every single player, he hasn't heard anyone that is going to opt out, and every single player intends to go to Orlando and go to Orlando healthy. And with the Lakers, obviously you have Avery Bradley opting out for a very legitimate reason. With the Clippers, you have some players who were waffling on that, even though Doc Rivers has said he does expect potentially a full team to be down there. And so that kind of unity that the Bucks have in terms of everybody deciding that they want to go, they want to be able to use their platform there, but also from a basketball perspective, having every single person there on that roster could be an advantage, especially over teams that are also championship caliber, but could potentially be missing starters like Avery Bradley. You know, and whether or not the Clippers are going to have a full roster is still something that they are waiting to see. But the Bucks, really, from talking to folks around that organization, they never really missed a beat. I mean, of course, they were locked out at the gym for a while, but I was talking to coaches who were having distance workouts with players throughout this entire time. And so that could be an advantage, especially when we talk about rust and sloppy basketball at the beginning.
Yeah, I think, Bobby, the leadership of your great players in this restart is going to be vital. It's just going to be vital. And I've had a couple You know, I've had some teams, the one word that you hear from coaches and the coaches who are trying to keep and front offices and the leaders on teams, like, your team needs to have a purpose in Orlando. And I think whatever that purpose is, it's going to be really important to get teams through in the long run. And I think that starts with who your leaders are.
Well, and I think when you look at, you know, certainly the three teams that you just mentioned, you know, each has, you know, two alphas, right? I mean, with, you know, certainly we can probably put Chris Middleton with Giannis and LeBron and AD and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And I think, you know, Brad Stevens made an interesting comment when he did his media interviews this past week, where he said, we don't look at what happens in Orlando as an extension of the season. We look at it as a new season, right? So you're going to look at the when they get to Orlando, when they start their training camp, it's going to be like part two of the 2019-20 season. And I think what happens in that 2 week period, where guys are conditioning wise, where they are health wise, who can get through that relatively unscathed, how teams handle the seeding games. I know we've talked a lot about Lakers Clippers in that game one. It would shock me if we're seeing guys play 35 minutes, like we're treating it like a mid-March game, where we're almost going to see a little bit of an extension of you know, where we'd see in an exhibition. And you're right. I mean, we've got 22 teams in Orlando. Not everybody is there for the same purpose. There are the teams up top that are trying to win a championship, and there are teams like Phoenix, Washington, who are there to get their younger players better, to put them in a position where, as I say, there are meaningful games, to put them in some type of playoff type of atmosphere.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand slams, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Yeah, I think San Antonio, for example, without LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, this is a team that my sense is they're going to use this as this is a developmental month for them. This is Lonnie Walker and, you know, their young players are going to be at the forefront of how they approach this. And this is, I don't want to call it a glorified summer league, but Bobby, this is a glorified summer league for some of those teams who I think there's a couple of them. And I think especially too, if a team quickly gets in a position down there, whether they lose a player or two, or whether they lose the first couple of games out of those eight seeding games, and they go, we're not in position here to get the play in, to get in the play in, you're going to see them very quickly start sitting their key players, of trying to avoid injury, and just saying, let's get out of here without compromising the start of next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Washington's probably a great example. You know, although, you know, the team in front of them, Brooklyn, has certainly some key injuries and they maybe can catch them. But I think if you see Washington go 0-2 or 1-3 right off the bat, it would surprise me if we see Bradley Beal at extended minutes or minutes at all for those remaining four games. And you're right, it's you know, for some teams, it's a combination of summer league, preseason and then the regular season, right? We kind of take all three and we put it into one, where that, you know, San Antonio is a perfect example here, where they've got, you know, with Portland and New Orleans, Sacramento, they're all bunched together where, you know, if you don't get off to a good start, you are going to be playing out the string of games with your younger players.
It's funny. I want to get to Brooklyn with Malika, but being that this is in Orlando, Bobby, and if we start seeing guys getting pulled, you know, sitting, guys could get sent home with minor injuries, or, you know, organizations might, they could take care of guys and send them on their way out of the bubble once they've sort of fulfilled the minimum amount of time you have to down there. It'll be interesting to see how the league handles that in terms of paying, wanting to pay players based on the reasons they would leave. But you were in the league at a time when there was the Orlando Summer League, and there were years with the Nets, you were down to four or five guys at the end, and what would happen?
Yeah, I mean, we back when Orlando and Vegas was just starting out, I mean, Vegas wasn't, you know, they didn't have 30 teams. So what you would do is when you put your summer league team together, you would make deals with agents that they can share a team in Las Vegas. So you'd have them for three games and then they would fly to Vegas. And there was one year where we were 0-4 or 0-5, and I would go to Orlando and then I would leave midway because free agency would start. And I got a call one morning, it was a Thursday morning, and from our guy, or scout, or might have even been you know, Avery Johnson, who was the coach, saying, "Hey, we only got three guys this morning. You know, we only got three guys to play a summer league game." And so I remember calling the Sixers, and I think Rod Thorne might have been down there, and it's Stefanski, and saying, "Hey, can we borrow four of your guys to get through?" And what happened was, and you know, those are different than NBA rules, where they were like, "Yeah, sure." I mean, because four of their guys were maybe not playing, as long as the agent was okay with it. But yeah, you were basically sharing rosters with another team. And I don't think we'll get to a point. Hopefully, we don't even get a point, and I know it won't be allowed, where you know, Portland is have to borrow Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton just to get through. I don't think the commissioner will allow that. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you. I mean, especially where how the rosters are expanded to 17 now. But those are the type of situations that you will see at where guys will start, I don't know about defecting because there is a financial component to it, but certainly guys sitting out, you know, if there's nothing to play for.
I mean, Malika, think of what, just, I don't know, maybe a month ago, I lose track of time in 2020, but maybe it was a month ago,
March 137th. So that makes sense. We're just at the 137th day of March at this point.
Yeah, exactly right. Think of what people were talking about with the Nets. It went from, hey, could they possibly get KD and Kyrie back in Orlando? Could they? I mean, think about this. Hey, guys, instead of trying to have to play 100 games to win a championship, 82 regular season games, and then, you know, 20 plus in the playoffs, how about you guys go down and play 8 regular season games?
Right.
And then get in the playoffs, and you could backdoor get into the finals in 30 some odd games. And not only there will be no Kevin Durant, there will be no Kyrie Irving. There's no Wilson Chandler, as he told you over the weekend. And DeAndre Jordan has indicated that he won't play. Spencer Dinwiddie has suggested that's possible for him. I think there are other players on the Nets, as we know, who are evaluating what they're going to do. Malika, what is this year? What do you think? Did the Nets make any progress this year? Was there anything to be gained? Does this feel like a lost year for that organization whose championship? We knew they weren't going to have KD.
Right.
But we didn't imagine a scenario where they would legitimately fear at the end of their season struggling to field a team that includes anything but what we're going to call substitute replacement players.
Well, there was a sense, right, that at least, at the very least, the Nets were going to be able to work on, bring the supporting cast, if you will, around Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving together, because you still had DeAndre Jordan playing for them throughout the season, who wasn't on the team before. You had Torian Prince finding his role within this team. You had Garrett Temple. And then you had, you know, the longstanding guys like Joe Harris. But the thought was that the others, the Kyrie Irving and everybody else, was going to be able to, everyone besides Kevin Durant was going to be able to figure out what this team was going to look like. And then Kevin Durant, because he is such a great player, can just slide into that lineup. And we have seen so many iterations of Nets starters that I have lost count. And by the end of the season, when they went on that nice little streak before the break, Wilson Chandler was starting. Now he is not going to be in Orlando. DeAndre Jordan was starting over Jared Allen. DeAndre, like you said, has indicated he's not going to be in Orlando. Spencer Dinwiddie was starting. His ability to play in Orlando, he has said, is up in the air right now. So at least three of their starters are not going to be or might not be in Orlando. And then you look at, okay, well, maybe it's a chance for their really young guys to get some minutes. But Nick Claxton, their rookie this season, just had season-ending shoulder surgery. So who might have actually gained something from this time in Orlando is not going to be with the team anyway down there as well. And so now you have really like the Chris Chiozas of the world, who you don't know whether or not they will have any deep bench role with this team next season, likely not, that are going to be playing in Nets jerseys. It's very possible that you're going to see a lot of minutes from guys that mean nothing in terms of the fact that this is not a group that they would necessarily be moving forward with, because they're signing so many injury replacement type guys. They're converting two-way players just to kind of hodgepodge a group together to bring them to Orlando. So really, it's hard to know exactly what to take from this group that they're going to be presenting in Orlando, just because it's so vastly different from what we expected at the beginning of the season and what we expect to see next season.
Yeah, and I think that what one thing that this restart was going to have value for was Jacques Vaughn.
Right.
I know people sometimes are treating Jacques Vaughn like he was named the interim coach when Kenny Atkinson and the Nets split up. But he's not. He's the head coach. They didn't make him interim coach. And while I think the Nets are considering the possibility of a search, I would still give Jacques Vaughn – I would take Jacques Vaughn against the field right now.
Absolutely.
To keep that job. Now, he wasn't going to get to coach KD and Kyrie there, but you were going to get to see him spend more time with their key players. And I thought that would be a benefit for him as Sean Marks kind of evaluated. Listen, you know what he has to evaluate. He's got to evaluate whether he thinks Jacques Vaughn is the right guy to coach KD and Kyrie Irving and lead that team next season. He wasn't going to get a chance to do it with those two, but he was going to presumably get to coach everybody else, and that may not be the case. I don't know that that hurts his chances to return, but I think it would have been helpful for all of them if he had more of the group together and he could have built those relationships as a head coach that are obviously different than as an assistant. But obviously it's, you know, he's going to have a limited opportunity to do any of that.
Well, and it makes the criteria, as Sean Marks was explaining when he was talking to us, he had said, Sean Marks at the beginning of all of this had said that they were holding off on doing any sort of coaching search because it wouldn't be fair. They genuinely wanted to see what Jack could do with this group of guys. But now it becomes convoluted as to what exactly the criteria is for what they are evaluating. It can't be wins and losses, as Sean Marks said, because this isn't, they're not expecting necessarily to make huge leaps and bounds in the standings. Although they are seventh right now and they have a sizable lead on Washington, they also haven't beat Washington during the season. So there is some wiggle room there, right? Wins and losses can't be what he's evaluated on. Like you said, it can no longer be, does he have chemistry with these specific guys? Because those specific guys are not going to be in Orlando. So it makes it a little bit more it makes it harder to gauge what exactly they're going to be evaluating. And Bobby, you know, I'm sure you have some thoughts on this, because there are no longer those wins and losses criteria or player personnel criteria that he can tick while he's in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things. I think certainly relationship building, right? What is his relationship with not just Kevin and Kyrie, but certainly those are two most important, but down the roster, right? How does he relate to the players? It's a lot harder when you move over that one seat, right? When you're the assistant coach and you're kind of like that middleman between the head coach, now you're the number one guy. And how does that change? I think, how are you prepared? I think how Jacques is prepared for each of the eight games will tell a lot. I mean, Sean will be there and he'll be able to see that. You had a small sample at the end of the season. And then I think that the third thing is certainly how, there'll be an opportunity for Jacques to kind of, how is he going to build out his staff? What would he do as far as from a coaching staff perspective here? But you're right. I mean, to gauge him on the eight games in Orlando based on wins and losses is not fair based on what his roster is going to be. I think the one thing that I would look at it is if I'm Sean Marks, is that there has to be a comfort level that Jacques is going to be my guy, because I don't want to get to January of next year or February and figure out this does not work. And now we're starting this process all over again. We went from Kenny to Jacques, and now we're going to coach, the third coach in the KD and Kyrie tenure. So I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I think Brooklyn is interesting because, even if they go winless, they're probably still going to make it to that eight seed because of where Washington is, and that that we know that pick goes to Minnesota. I mean, in hindsight, the best course would be them to keep that pick, but unlikely that's going to happen. So I think there's a lot that Sean's going to have to evaluate in the next couple months. But a real funny story real quick before we get on to the next thing, but I've known Jacques Vaughn for a long time. When I was in New Jersey, he played for us there, and Jacques broke his foot when he was there. And I had the opportunity to scrub in to surgery during Jacques' foot when he had foot surgery.
Oh, no.
I did not perform the surgery. I only have a Bachelor of Arts from Marist, but I do not have a doctorate. But I got to see the actual screw put into the foot during a surgery. So Jacques Vaughn and I go back a long time, and we have this bond that I was actually scrubbed in to a surgery. So I hope it works out for him. This is not an easy situation because, as you said, They had the win against the Lakers before the season was postponed. They had a win against, I think, Chicago on that Sunday right after Kenny had been let go. And you started to see things turn around here. And now you go to Orlando with really a skeleton group.
Well, and they were on a three-game winning streak when the season stopped. And some of that, Jacques made some tweaks to their lineup. What did he do? He's Jared Allen had been starting over DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan went back into starting lineup. He may not be in Orlando now. He swapped in, Wilson Chandler was starting for those three games when they were 3-0. He's not going to be in Orlando now. Those were some Jacques Vaughn lineup tweaks. That didn't happen before. And so he's going to have to be even more creative this time.
Yeah. Listen, ultimately that's I don't want to simplify it too much, but Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, if you can build a relationship with them, if they want you to be the head coach, if they trust you as the head coach, you'll be the head coach of the Nets. And otherwise, it's like any other team with two, all NBA level stars. It is built around that relationship and their willingness to really accept your leadership. That's simply how this league works anymore. And Bobby, those next tier teams in the Eastern Conference behind Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia, where do you see those teams as we head into this Orlando restart?
I think Toronto. I think because they've gone through the adversity of losing Kawhi, basically everybody counting them out. They've gone through a playoffs last year, although a lot different, you know, when you're on the road and, you know, you're in front of fans where this is going to be a neutral site. I think how much from a veteran standpoint, when you have Kyle and you have Marc Gasol and you have Serge Ibaka, and certainly where Pascal is at, you know, where he was before the season was postponed. And you've got a guy in Nick Nurse, who's probably one of the favorites to win Coach of the Year. I think I look at Toronto as a threat to Milwaukee as that next tier. Certainly where Boston is with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, where Jason Tatum is right now, where he's kind of on that verge of being a franchise level player. But it all comes down to, right, like, what are the rosters going to look like at the end of July? What are the rosters going to look like in mid-August, right? Like, who gets through players not testing positive, injuries? But for me, I think I really do think it's Toronto, because I think they have such a good balance of that veterans, and then they have some of those younger players, and they've just been through this already. And this is going to be a mental grind. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it here. People will say, well, whoever wins is going to get an asterisk. And I think Doc Rivers said during the week, well, they should get a gold star, right? Like, you know, like, this is not going to be an easy process here.
I agree with that. But what we're going to keep seeing and hearing about the building up of this championship, and I don't disagree with any of it, but we've heard Giannis talk about it. We've heard Doc talk about it. LeBron. The guys who have a chance to win a championship, what they're already doing is validating it. This is a legitimate chance. Not only is this a legitimate championship, this is better than all the rest of them. And so, like, we all, and I get it, and I understand why they're doing it, but I think we're going to hear so much of that as this goes on, because, like, it's funny. I had a GM say to me, who's won a championship, say to me that this is the worst possible scenario for the favorites, and meaning the Lakers, the Clippers, maybe you put the Bucks in there, that the teams who don't win are going to take all the same grief that they would, that they're going to take all the same criticisms for not winning. And if they do win, it's going to be diminished in some ways by people that this is, in that way, kind of a little bit of a, I don't want to say can't win, but you're going to take the crap. You're not going to maybe get all the credit for winning. And you can sort of see teams, individuals and teams, you know, really pushing back against that as this thing starts, which I understand.
Right. I am also interested, and I think that's absolutely an interesting observation with those top teams. I agree with both of you that Toronto, especially because they're healthy, finally, for now, that's not a group we've seen all together on the floor healthy so far, really, this season. They've kind of keep having one guy or another guy, one key piece out, and right now they're saying, no, we're ready to go. I am interested to see, speaking of the asterisks, you know, there won't be any home court advantage that we, you know, in the same way that it usually is in a traditional season. And I'm curious what that means for Philadelphia, because they have struggled so much on the road this season and have been excellent at home. And now, you know, you're seeing Brett Brown say Ben Simmons is ready to go after that bout with his back. And will that make a difference for them, that it's all neutral, that they don't have that big swing back and forth that they had, that we saw all season? Will that play out in their favor or to their detriment? Because I think that could potentially be a secret sauce that they have up their sleeve.
Yeah, I agree. I think for Philadelphia, Bobby, look, come on. We know what the criticism has been of this group is, do they have enough leadership? Do their leaders lead? And this is going to be, what Malik is saying is exactly right, because they are such a different team home and away. You know, some people could attribute that to your star players, to leadership. There could be some of it. But I think this is a great opportunity for Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons especially, to validate their leadership of this group, because we can go around some of these other elite teams and we can point to the guys that we know have built those reputations in a league. We know Ben Simmons and Joel are great players. This is the next step for them. And I think Orlando is a great opportunity for them to show, hey, we've evolved into those guys too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think where we were heading towards was this team was going to get knocked out in the first round, right? They were probably going to be the sixth seed and they would have probably got bounced out. And if they played Boston or Toronto or one of these teams, and I mean, they were soft on the road. I mean, let's face it, as far as I'm just laughing because Malika is doing technical work here while we're watching her.
I know exactly what happened. Her laptop was running out of
the battery.
Her laptop was running out of juice. The battery was dying, and she ran across the room, and she got the charger because she was afraid the thing's at like 7%, right? Is that what happened there?
Perpetually operating on 7%.
Back to the Sixers. But no, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting because let's face it, on paper, right, they are as talented as any team that's going to be there. When you look at with Ben healthy now, we didn't know if that was going to happen in mid-April. I think it's going to be interesting where Joel is health-wise. I mean, physically-wise, conditioning-wise, that's going to be the million-dollar question. And then, you know, we saw that Brett started to tinker with Horford coming off the bench. We saw Tobias play the four. What's he going to do with his lineup here? I think it's going to be fascinating how the Sixers ownership evaluates Brett Brown, right? I mean, like, it's been known that, like they are expecting more than just losing in the first round. And does this restart in Orlando and the situation and the circumstances, does that change it a little bit, how they look at it? But yeah, I think Philadelphia is going to be certainly intriguing. I think this might have saved them the restart as far as, you know, where we were heading towards, because we saw right around the All-Star break, I don't know, the trade deadline, like they would go on the road and get just blown out. Like they were not competitive at all. And I think it will be interesting as far as what we see, when we in August here.
Bobby, Malika, great to jump in with you guys. Have a great July 4th weekend. Malika, I will see you on the other side of July 4th. I will see you in Orlando or
through plexiglass.
Malika has, there's about 10 boxes headed toward. So we ordered a ton of stuff that like we just knew we would need down there in the bubble. Like some of it was like as simple as like notebooks, batteries. What was the thing? The Starbucks.
Yeah, Starbucks coffee prepackaged.
Prepackaged, yeah. And so I addressed them since I'm not getting there until like the 12th. I addressed them all to Malika at the hotel we're staying at. In Disney, because I figured if I put my name on it, I'm not there till the 12th. They don't know who I am. When, like, do they just, what do they do with it? So Malika's got like 10 boxes from Amazon coming. Some of it, which might be relatable to her in terms of what's in there. Some of it was just stuff that I ordered. And so she's going to keep getting her red light in her room's going to be on. The front desk is going to be calling like another box of like Clorox wipes headed her way. So I apologize for that, Malika.
Malika, did you have to ship your clothes there? How did that work?
No, I just packed 3 suitcases worth of clothes. And then I like stuffed my shoes around the edges. So there's sometimes only one shoe of a set in one suitcase and the other shoe is in a different suitcase because it wouldn't fit in my Tetris of packing. Because that's really my secret talent. Like reporter, cool, but master packer is my true calling.
Yeah. I would have packed three bags of shoes. I'm an overpacker of shoes.
Well, Malika told SVP last night that she packed 27 dresses. Yeah. Will they all be in the rotation? Will we only see you ever wear the same thing like 3 times?
That's the hope and the plan. Is to mix and match so there's the illusion of something different every time.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well,
with the suits.
Well, I will not be as you'll see a lot more repetition on TV with me. And shoot, that's the best part of being on TV, ESPN. Nobody sees your shoes, so.
Yeah. I've been rocking my green fuzzy socks for all my TV hits so far. So.
All right. Well, I will see you there soon, Bobby. I will talk to you soon. Have a great July 4th weekend. Malika, be careful on those runs to the ice machine at the end of your hallway in quarantine. I know that's about as far as you can go right now. So thanks for jumping in, guys. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Thanks much.
Hey guys, Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action has acquired the secret to building a thicker, greener lawn. In return, they have taken all of the hard work out of the picture to give you more time to do nothing extra. People don't realize that it's easy to get the lawn of their dreams by simply feeding their lawn a few times throughout the year. Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action kills weeds, prevents crabgrass, and feeds to build thick green lawns. With Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action, you can finally get the lawn you've always dreamt of. Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help your weak, thin lawn recover. When you feed with Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action multiple times throughout the year, your grass will be greener, stronger, and more resilient. Pick up a bag today. This is a Scott's yard. Also, Scott's No Quibble Money Back Guarantee states, if you're not satisfied, you get your money back. This is a Scott's yard. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Woj Pod. A big thank you to our guest today, ESPN's Malika Andrews, and front office insider Bobby Marks. You can get new and archived episodes of the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to also listen to The Low Post with Zach Lowe, The Hoop Collective with Brian Windhurst, and the SVP Pod with the great Scott Van Pelt. Have a great July 4th weekend. We'll catch you next time.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.